Okay, my name is Cristiano Ballabio and I work for the European Commission. I don't know how many of you are aware of this Global Soil Mapping project, but basically, in few words, it's a project aiming at mapping soil properties at 100 meters resolution globally. As the Commission is a part of the project, we are in charge of producing maps for Europe. What I'm going to show now is how did these maps and at what point we are. So I'll show the approach, the available data sources we used, and how we did, in particular with the methodology, the models we used, and how we did estimate also the error, the uncertainty of the data, because one of the products in the Global Soil Map project is actually giving also confidence intervals for estimated properties. So, the approach. We can see digital soil mapping in two different ways. One is to use legacy data in the form of maps. So, is what you see in the bottom line, the blue line. And basically it's based on the harmonization and disaggregation of data in order to produce maps based on previous knowledge but new covariates. So basically, yes, DTM or similar remotely sensitive data. Another approach, which I put in the upper part and is orthogonal to the other, is using field data, so using soil profiles, covariates coming from remotely sensitive data or digital terrain elevation models, and to apply regression or other interpolation models to obtain a new map. I put these two approaches orthogonally because they are complementary. They are not the same thing, and we can use both. In our case, we use just the first one, so the top one, because we have some issues in Europe. One particularity is that we have a very good coverage of point data, which tends us to use the first approach, and that the legacy map are not so good. This is the European Harmonized Soil Database, and you can see that for some countries, especially Scandinavia, we don't have many soil units. You see, Sweden is basically composed of three soil units. And this is a problem because we don't have enough information also to apply a disaggregation algorithm. Another problem is that, okay, is that there are some issues with the accuracy of these maps. So basically what you see here, the black part, is actually a lake, and you can see that the soil unit, which is bordered in red, is not really following, let's say, the geographic unit, what we can say from the satellite. And we found out that many units are a bit erratic in this sense. So at this point, for the sake of time and of our obtaining a good result, we decided not to use legacy data. Instead, we used a lot of soil observation. This is the LUCAS database, which is basically a database of topsoil data collected in 2009. So all these points were collected in just 1 year, analyzed in a single lab. And this, the sample is quite, not harmonized, but harmonic, meaning that it comes as a single set, as a single survey. We have 20,000 observations, which is a reasonable size for Europe, and is well distributed in geographical space, so we cover most of the land uses and geographical features. Moreover, we have other profile data, like the biosoil. Here you see all the data sets. Which is composed of about 8,000 profiles and layer data. The Danube catchment data, which is basically all those closely spaced points you can see in the eastern part of Europe, which is about 10,000 observation and soil profile data. The EU Heidi, another 3,000 profiles. And we also use the ISRIC world profile, soil profiles. We put together all this data, and then we check for some issues, like the presence of spatial clusters and similar. We found out that basically there are none above what we would expect by the geographical shape of Europe. So basically this is the F function, and you see the bottom continuous line and the dashed line are basically the same. One is the theoretical distribution of the points in space, if they were randomly distributed, and the other one is what we measure. So basically we have a random distribution. Also the coverage of future space is basically quite good. In this case we see the PCA decomposition, and in red we see what would be sampled by random points, and in blue we see what is sampled by our point observations. So, since we tested that the data is quite good, we applied this data in an inference model using some remotely sensitive data. In this case we use MODIS for the year 2009, and basically we transfer all the MODIS data using a PCA approach. So basically we reduce a very large number of observation, because MODIS is basically scanning every 16 days, into a very compact future space. So basically we decompose with PCA and we take just the first few components of the decomposition. Other covariates are the SRTM topographic futures, so we derive slope, wetness index, the usual set of covariates. Geological maps with the bit coarse resolution, because it's 1 to 5 million, and the European soil database that we tested but was not used at this stage. This is the first result. This is the map of the topsoil pH in calcium chloride. And basically we get, in this case, very good accuracy, a very good prediction. You can see that the cross-validation R-square, which is the number, what is the pointer? The number here in the bottom is 0.6, whoops, which is quite good in this case. Also, you can see that the map reflects pretty much what we would expect. So in the north, we have lower pH, and in the Mediterranean region, we have higher ones due to the lithology mostly. We also produce soil texture maps. In this case, we adopt you use multivariate additive regression splines to map all the properties at once. So basically we fit one model, one multivariate model, which then predicts silt, sand, and clay content all together. The nice part about this model is that the three components are always constrained to sum up to 100, so we don't have problem of under prediction or over prediction of some of the components. Also in this case we get quite good results, not as good as with pH, so we are basically getting 0.4 for clay, and then we go down. We also applied a little different approach in this case, and we got higher accuracies, but I don't have the result here. And we also mapped several chemical properties like nitrogen content, calcium carbonate, pH in water. We also have available water content and so on running. These are all products for the topsoil. We also produce a map of soil organic carbon, which is a bit less accurate than other maps, but is quite good. So we see that in Scandinavia, Northern UK, Ireland, we have higher contents of organic carbon, and then the content decreases in the Mediterranean area. And of course, we see also the Alps, the Pyrenees, with the higher contents. Also in this case, so these are the products, more or less, which are ready. What is not ready, and might not be ready ever, is the bulk density, because we don't have measures of bulk density, so we will have to work with pedal transfer functions. Soil depth, which is also not always measured, and but this will be ready, the maps of the confidence intervals. Another part is how we did the prediction of subsoil properties. So we have a very good database for the topsoil, the Lucas database, with 20,000 observations. But for the subsoil, we have about one half of the topsoil measures, so we have another 20,000. Moreover, the subsoil data is not harmonized, so we have a lot of discrepancies between different data sets. And so, what we do is to apply the area-preserving splines, which is a methodology in the global soil map specification, to derive different properties as standard depth. And after this, we apply a Bayesian regression model using topsoil data as prior information. So what means a Bayesian regression model? When we do regression, like ordinary least squares, the data, we just use the data from the observation. We don't use any previous knowledge. So existing soil maps provide some information about soil properties. In this case, we are using topsoil data to predict subsoil, but we could also use legacy maps to predict new properties. However, this information is usually approximate and uncertain. So what we do is to use this information to provide an initial guess for the model, for the regression model. We provide an informative prior. Okay, we go over the Bayes theorem, and I will show this, if it loads, maybe, animation. Okay, so what we do, basically, is to start from one parameter, so the red line is basically our initial guess, and as soon as we observe new data, you can see that the line, the blue line, the regression line, is getting updated. So every time we observe something new, the line converges to the real distribution. So the advantage of this is that if we start with a regression line, which is almost, which is very close to the actual distribution, what we get is an initial guess which is very good, and the algorithm will converge quite fast, faster than if we started with a flat line. That was an example. I don't know if there is time. This is how it's done in practice. So we basically apply Markov chain Monte Carlo to estimate the parameters of the regression model. Here you see in this part, these are the chains, and this is how the parameters are fitted. The chains which converge numerically, and so at once we estimate both the average of the parameters, so the median, and the sigma, so the variance. Okay, let's go on. What we get, why is not going on? What we get is an estimation of all the parameters of the regression model plus their variance. These are the subsoil map we get from this model. So you see, it's again pH, this time is in water. So in this part, in the left part, you see the topsoil, and then two layers of the subsoil. Concluding, we are almost getting ready with all the global soil mapping products for Europe. They are still improvable, so meaning that if you get more observation, we will get a better product. But they're already good. For the subsoil, the global soil map products are partially available, so we are getting there. We are not there yet, but we will eventually deliver. And then, also the confidence interval are on the way, which will be the final product we will get. And that's it. Thank you for your attention.